I wanted to start off by showing that video because it makes a powerful statement to us. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today, so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll get there in just a couple minutes. But one of the things that it points out in that video is the fact that when we read Proverbs, what we're reading is a law, like the law of gravity. But as you guys know, the law of gravity can be overcome for periods of time. As long as you've got enough force, as long as you've got enough, aerodynamics, and I don't know how planes fly, but you guys know the drill, right? You can overcome the law of gravity for a period of time. And over in our lives, we see people that are overcoming these laws of wisdom. They're doing things out of order. They're doing things in the way that God wouldn't want for them. And it seems like they're flying. And so often in society, we look at these people, whether it's professional athletes, musicians, actors, you know, a lot of our influencers and things like that, and we're looking at them and we're saying, they are doing it right. Look at them. They're flying. And yet what the Bible tells us is that over the course of your life, these things tend to even out. Over the course of your life, you end up coming back to earth, and depending on how you're how high you were flying and how difficult the descent is, it can either cause problems in your life or not. And so we see this over and over again where somebody will rise to prominence and it seems like, okay, the way that they're doing things now must be the way to do things. But for those of us in here who have been around the sun a few times, we know that we've seen those people rise up and then flame out. And we see another person rise up and then flame out. We see another person. It's because they're bumping up against the laws that are written in this book. Now, this doesn't mean, and they pointed it out in the video here, this doesn't mean that everybody, every time, is going to get the exact result that's listed in this book. Instead, these are principles that guide and cover most people in the majority of situations. And like they said, then if we had more than 35 minutes today, we could dive into Ecclesiastes and Job and see what happens when a blameless person, like in the book of Job, goes through something that is incredibly, incredibly tragic and how he responds to that. So anyway, that wasn't even my introduction, but I just felt, as we were watching the video, I felt led to share that with you guys today. Proverbs 3:7. Hopefully you guys are there. Proverbs 3:7 says this. It says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes." And this is that pattern that we see. I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple years ago, the government printed a whole bunch of money and handed it out to people like myself that still had a job, that were still employed, and all of a sudden had a bunch of extra money. So I did what everybody did in 2020 when they were still working and they had these stimulus checks. I threw it in the stock market, like everybody would. Everybody did. And I got really good at you know, the saying is you buy high and then you sell low, right? You buy it for $100 and then you sell it for $75 and now you got $75. Anyway, a lot of people invested in the stock market during that time and then were smart enough just to leave their money in. And as the market kind of went down and then came back, they ended up ahead, but not me. I did not have the same level of success that other people did. The truth is that in that, he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. I thought that I had figured something out. I thought that I knew something that other people didn't know. And so I thought that I could do something, even though I knew all of Warren Buffett's wisdom on the matter. You know, time in the market is better than timing the market. You're never going to hit the peaks or the valleys. But if you just stay steady over the long term, you're going to win. I knew all of those types of things. And yet, for some reason, I thought that I knew better. I was too clever for my own good. And the truth is, we as humans are terrible about justifying bad behavior. How many times have you said to yourself, I can eat just one potato chip? Right? And you're like, I can, you know, I know the commercial challenged me, but I can take just one. And you walk by the bag a couple minutes later and you grab another one, and you, pretty soon you're shoveling chips in your mouth just as fast as you can. I heard about a man who was trying to lose weight, and every day he would bring his employees donuts to work. Every morning he would stop by this bakery, he'd bring his employees donuts for work. And then he realized that he needed to lose weight, so he gets all of his employees together, and he's talking to him. He says, you know what, I'm not going to be able to bring donuts in anymore. And they all cheer him. They're like, yeah, man, this is awesome. Great job. Way to go. We believe in you. All of these things. So everybody was, you know, happy with not getting donuts anymore. But and the man, as he was trying to figure out his life, decided, it's best if I don't even drive by this bakery, because I want to make sure that I don't have this temptation of stopping in and getting donuts. Well, wouldn't you know it, one day a few months later, his errands take him to the other side of town. And so he's thinking to himself, okay, I got to go by this bakery. It would be really nice. I haven't brought my employees donuts for months. I'm doing a good job of losing weight. I'm going to try, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to see what God would have me do. So he closes his eyes. And hopefully he was parked at the time, he wasn't driving, but he closes his eyes, he folds his hands, he prays, God, if you want me to bring donuts to my employees, let there be a parking spot right in front of the bakery. And wouldn't you know it, on the seventh time around the block, there was a parking spot right in front of the bakery. We are terrible at justifying our own behavior. We are terrible at tricking ourselves and lying to ourselves and making ourselves believe whatever we want to believe. So what's the antidote? What's the solution so that we can figure out, is God telling me something, or am I telling me something? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. When you're staring at a tough situation or a difficult decision, how do you know that it's God leading you and it's not just you telling yourself what you want to hear? Well, thankfully, King Solomon addressed this for us, and we're going to read now in Proverbs chapter 3. First of all, verses 1 through 4, just to kind of sum it up, says, my son, don't forget God's word, because it's going to prolong your life. It's going to give you peace and prosperity. If you do what he says, you'll win favor with God and man. Everything is going to be great for you. Those are the first four verses of chapter 3. And then verse 5 starts off like this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of someone or something. If I lean up against this pulpit right now, I am trusting in it to hold me up. I believe in its strength. I believe in its construction. I believe that it was put together well. And I believe that it's going to hold me up. If I didn't believe it was going to hold me up, I wouldn't have done that, right? And I wouldn't have practiced it ahead of time, for sure. I probably should have, but it would have been more funny if I would have fallen down the steps. Never mind. All right, back on track. What's more interesting, though, is not what trust is, but what trust does. He says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, another word for trust would be faith. Faith is defined as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And so faith is the ultimate expression of trust. And James tells us that faith without deeds is dead. Faith without deeds is useless. So if you trust something, if you have faith in something, you should do something with the thing that you have faith in or trust in. In other words, we want to place our whole confidence in God. And when he tells us to do something, it's not enough just to say, God, I trust you. But when he asks us to do something, we have to be quick to obey him. We express our confidence in God through obedience. Not to get too far into the money side of things, but as we were passing the offering buckets around today, that's an opportunity for us to trust God. It's an opportunity for us to say to God, God, I trust you more than my paycheck. I trust you more than my bank account. God, I'm leaning on you, and this is a step that I take in order to show my trust in you. And he says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, we can't be double-minded in this. We can't be of two minds. We can't say one thing and then do another thing, but we have to trust in God with all of our heart. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because if you're trusting in God to guide you, if you're trusting him to provide for you, if you're trusting him to take care of you, then you don't want to get like I was a couple years ago, where all of a sudden you read a Reddit post and you're like, hey, I got this figured out now. I know how to do this, right? And instead, you want to lean on the wisdom that God has for you. We want to do things God's way. We want to do God's things in God's way, in God's timing. How do we know what God's way is? We spend time with him. And then verse 6, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In everything that you do, don't do it on your own wisdom. Don't do it in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. A submission in a healthy context is the definition of trust and obey. It's when you say to somebody, I don't know, I don't understand, I can't comprehend the reasoning behind this decision, but in this case, I'm going to submit. I'm going to allow my doubts, my fears to be pushed to the side for a minute, and I'm going to submit because I trust you. I'm going to submit because I know that you have my best intentions I know that you want what's best for me or for this situation. Submission is telling God that I don't have all the answers and I don't know all the answers. And so what we do then is we say to God, because God tells us to pray for somebody. You're in the middle of work or you're at the store and God stops you and he says, I need you to pray for this person right now. Or you're having a conversation with them, they're pouring their heart out to you and you're like, hey, can we just stop and pray? That's submitting to God. God, I don't know how they're going to respond. I don't know what the right answer is. I don't even know if I'm going to say the right things. But God, I'm going to submit. I'm going to trust. I'm going to obey because I trust you. And I know that you have what's best for me. Might be joining a group, accepting a job, forgiving, reconciling. All of these different things are ways that we say to God, God, I trust you, and so I'm going to submit. I'm going to submit in all my ways because I know that you're going to guide me. You're going to make my paths straight. Verse 7, we already read the first part of it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. He says, fear the Lord and shun evil. Now, that video, again, that we watched showed that idea of fearing God and submitting to him. And the fear of God is not a fear that pushes us away from God. I'm scared of God, so I'm going to hide. Instead, it's a fear that says I'm scared of being apart from God, so I'm going to draw in. I'm going to come closer to him. And I'm going to get rid of the things in my life that would hinder me, that would keep me back from serving him with all of my heart. So this is what the fear of God is it's not a fear that pushes us away, it's a fear that brings us close. And man, at some point we're going to do a whole series on the fear of God because it's a powerful, when we wrap our heads around God's holiness and his love for us, and when we start to understand things God's way, it changes everything. It really does. But we don't have time to get into it right now. I would encourage you though, if you have some free time this week and you want to study, just look up scriptures that talk about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom, being the source of our life, that when we are place God in his proper place in our life, then like we're talking about, everything else tends to come together. He says, when you do this, when you fear the Lord and you shun evil, it's going to bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, I want to just disclaimer right here. Sickness does not always mean God's punishment. Sickness is not always a result of God trying to get your attention. But how many of us have, your life is just going too fast, Life is too crazy. We're too stressed out. And then you get sick and you're like, oh, I guess God was trying to get my attention in this. I guess God wanted me to slow down for a couple days. And so sometimes it is. Sometimes there is this understanding that God is trying to get our attention, and he'll use things like sickness or situations in our life in order to get our attention. What we're really talking about in this is bringing ourselves into alignment with God's word, lining up with him. The Bible says that he will make our path straight, that we want to be walking in step with where God is and what God is doing. And when we do those things, then the Bible says that things are going to work out for us most of the time. So Proverbs then is the case study of the typical life. It's the 95%. You do this thing, most of the time it's going to work out for you in the end. He gives another example in verse 9. He says, honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. We talked about money just a minute ago. But when you're planning a budget or when you're trying to decide what you're going to do with your money, one of the first things, or the first thing the Bible says that you should do, is to set aside a portion of that for God. Now here at our church, we practice tithing, which is 10% of your income. And I know that some of you can't quite get there. And that's okay. God wants us to take a step of faith. God wants us to trust him. Try it with 2%. Try it with 5%. Try it with $25 a month. Whatever it is, test God, the Bible says, and see if he won't open the windows of heaven. And then when you get comfortable, test him again. And just keep trying it, because you're taking these steps of faith towards God, trusting him. He says, honor him with the first fruits. And then verse 10, your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In other words, what he's saying here is that you're going to see the abundance. And I personally, I mean, my life, I feel like, is a testimony of God doing more with 90% than I could ever do with 100% of my income. And I know there are other people in here that would also testify to that, that as we've chosen to take that step of tithing, that God has given us more back than we ever could have asked or imagined. But remember, we don't give to get. We don't give because we want something from God. Instead, we give because we're grateful. And giving doesn't guarantee financial blessing, but it does promise that over the long term, things tend to work themselves out. Find yourself getting sick less often. You find yourself getting, life is happier. There's less stress, things like that. All of these things tend to work themselves out. It's not always dollars in your bank account, but again, I've seen God work this over and over and over again. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those that he loves as a father disciplines the son that he delights in. The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son that he delights in. It's so easy as a parent to occasionally let things go because you just don't want to deal with it. You know that the attitude is wrong. You know that the things are, you see how things are spiraling, but you're like, I just don't have the strength right now. I just don't have the energy to do this, and we let it go, and we push things aside. We say to ourselves, I'll take care of this later. Eventually I'm going to have to address this. I'll do it at a different time. And does that ever work out? Does that ever end up producing the positive change that you're looking for in your kid's life? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And God then disciplines us because he loves us. It's not because he's mad at us. It's not because if he was just mad at us, or if he didn't care about us, he would just leave us to our own devices. And honestly, the world does a good enough job of disciplining us most of the time anyway. But there are times, there are seasons in life where you come under God's discipline because he wants to correct something in you. He wants to change something in you. He wants to make you more like him, because he knows that the best version of you and your life is the one that's closest to who he is. In Hebrews chapter 12, The writer of Hebrews quotes these two verses, and then in verse 7, he says, endure hardship as discipline. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. He says, what I want you to do is anytime there's an issue, anytime something comes up in your life that's hard, maybe it's a conflict at school or at work, maybe it's a bill that came up unexpectedly, maybe you just found out your property taxes are going up, maybe there's an issue with the things that are going on in your life, maybe it's car problems, I don't know what it is for you. But endure that hardship, the Bible says, as discipline. As discipline. Whether it's God's disciplining you or whether it's just you forgot to put gas in your car and you ran out before you could get to the gas station, right? Sometimes it's me that makes problems, makes messes of my own life, and then I want to blame it on God. He says, either way, whether it's something that God is doing in you or whether it's something that happens to you, endure it the same way. So how do we endure discipline? What do we do when hard times come? Well, we talked about it a little bit last week, that hard times are an opportunity for us to search our heart. Hard times are an opportunity for us to go to God, say, God, there's a mountain in front of me. God, there's a problem in my life. There's a trial that's popped up. There's something standing in my way of what I believe that you have for me. There is a situation here that I don't know how to deal with. And we take it to God. And we ask him and we trust him. We lay it down at his feet. And what the Bible tells us is that in that moment, God is looking to answer our prayers. But he doesn't always answer it the way we want him to, does he? He doesn't always answer it in the especially in the timing that we want. We're like counting down the minutes. Okay, God, you know, I need you. And we're wondering where God is in all of this. But all of these moments are an opportunity for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways to acknowledge him and to trust that he's going to make our paths straight. So whether it is actually God disciplining you or whether it's just some crazy situation in your life, Hebrews says to do the same thing in both situations. Take them to God in prayer. Throw yourself on his mercy and ask him. And what he's going to do is he's going to speak to you. And he's going to say, you know, I know you're coming to me with this the problem in this relationship, but honestly, the problem in the relationship is you, and you've got some things that you need to work out right now. And God's going to come to you, and he's going to say, you know what? The way that you reacted, the way that you responded was not right. And you need to adjust your speech patterns, you need to adjust the volume of your voice, you need to adjust the snarkiness of your tone, you need to adjust the sarcasm, whatever it is, God's going to say to you, and then you need to go and apologize to the person for what you did. There's a truism that says that you should never ask God for patience, right? Because what does God do if you ask him for patience? Bruce Almighty, the movie, said it best when it said, what does God do when you ask him for patience? Does he give you patience or does he give you opportunities to be patient? And everybody, I see people nodding their heads right now. You know that God, when you ask for patience, God stretches you a little bit bigger into what he has for you. God asks you, God stretches you so that you can have the more patience that you need. In the same way, in relationships, a lot of times it's the other person's fault, right? But a lot of times it's my fault too. And God uses those situations to stretch me, to teach me to love more, to teach me to understand him, to correct attitudes and beliefs that I'm holding on to in my life. God uses other people. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And that's not an easy or a delicate thing that happens. When iron is sharpening iron, that's two different forces coming to conflict with each other and both of them making each other better. And in the same way, we need to endure hardship in that same way because God disciplines those that he loves. God corrects us when we're going through situations in our life. God trusts us, or God gives us these things as opportunities for us to trust him. You see, God doesn't discipline us for behavior modification only, but God wants to transform our hearts. God is interested in what's going on inside of me, more so than the situation that I find myself in. You know, when that gaslight comes on, and you're thinking to yourself, I can stretch it. I've got, you know, gaslight came on. I've got 30 more miles until empty. And you're thinking to yourself, I can stretch this. It doesn't take too many times running out of gas before you start thinking to yourself, as soon as that gaslight comes on, or even when it hits a quarter of a tank, or even when it hits a half a tank, I don't want to go through that again. And so you learn to change. You learn to do things differently. Your entire, it's not just the behavior that changes, but the way that you live your life changes because you're going to the gas station a little bit more often to make sure that you don't hit empty because that was such a difficult thing in your life. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The truth is the world has infected us in so many ways. And we can't even see the patterns most of the time until we run up against things where the pattern doesn't work anymore. Man, if you could just live your whole life sitting on the couch, watching TV and eating potato chips, and that was enough to sustain you and give you everything you needed, most of us would choose that easy way out. But it's the hard things that move us off the couch and into the weight room. When you go to the doctor and they're like, hey, your blood pressure's a little high. Now all of a sudden you replace those potato chips with green vegetables because you want to get back down into that normal operating range. If it was okay to do it, you would keep doing it. And for a season, it works out for you. But eventually, over time, you start to see the flaws in the system. It's like gravity, right? You think you're soaring, and then you find yourself coming back down. And this is how discipline works in our life. But all of this is built on this foundation that we need to trust God. That we don't lean on our own understanding, but we trust him when he says what he says he's going to do, that he's going to do it. We lean on him, and we trust him that he's going to make our path straight. So the question, is it God's discipline or is it something else, might be the wrong question. But every hardship then is an opportunity for me to check myself. I mentioned it earlier, but Job was blameless. Job had the that's how the Bible describes him. That Job was a blameless and upright man. And yet he had all of these terrible things happen to him. All of these hardships popped up in his life. And when you read the book of Job, and for those of you that are following the Bible reading plan, we read it, I think like weeks 2 and 3 of the year. We read it way early on. But you start to see how he responds to this as a blameless person, never blames God, trusts him, doesn't understand. He spends a lot of time, a lot of the book, asking God, why? Why did you allow this to happen? And you know what? God is big enough to take that. God is big enough to hear it. God is big enough to respond when you ask him why. When you read the book of Job, you see that this is a broken person who's been devastated by circumstances that life has thrown at him. And yet, the way that he responds is blameless. The way that he responds to all of these hardships that he goes through is perfect, or mostly perfect. It's an interesting book because at the end of the book, it doesn't give us the answer to why he went through the hard times. When Job finally has this opportunity to confront God, say, God, why did you allow this? What happened? Was I not good enough? Or what was going on? Instead, God just tells him, you know what? There's things that you're just never going to understand. And you need to make peace with that. He says, I know more than you. I see more than you. And you just need to make peace with this idea. And man, that's a hard concept for us to wrap our head around, isn't it? It would be so easy if every hardship had a specific purpose. If I could just say, okay, God is trying to stop me from yelling at my kids or something. And I knew that every time I went through a hardship, it was God trying to stop me from yelling at my kids. I could figure that out pretty easy. But it's funny how these things never pop up linearly. This is why we need to learn to trust God. This is why we throw ourselves back on Him time after time. You know, sometimes it's discipline, sometimes it's a fallen world, sometimes it's an attack of the enemy, but every hardship gets treated the same way. We take it to God in prayer. So are you trusting God to guide you today? Do you trust that God has the best plan for your heart? Let me read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why don't you guys go ahead and close your eyes as I read this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Father, I thank You for this reminder, God, and this promise. That, Lord, when we trust in You, God, we know that You're going to come through for us. That You're going to lead us in the path that You want us to go in. God, we don't always understand why things happen. We don't always understand why You ask us to do the things that You want us to do. But God, I pray in these situations, Lord, we would learn to trust and to submit to You. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. God wants to speak to you today. Really quick, three thoughts on how to know if God is speaking to you. The first one, it's going to align with the Word of God. If God is talking to you and He tells you to do something and you're like, I don't know, this seems crazy, I don't quite understand, it should align with the Word of God. If He tells you to cheat on your taxes, it's probably not God that's saying it to you, right? But we're so good at justifying things. Oh, God told me that I should file my taxes this way. I'm just gonna, you know, we're so good at doing that. It should align with the Word of God. It should also be confirmed by a mentor. Somebody that you know that walks with God, somebody that's been doing this for longer than you've been doing it, somebody that has gone through the ups and downs of life and has proven that they understand the principles that are borne out in this book. You want to look for a mentor that can confirm these things in you, especially when it comes to bigger decisions in your life, whether it's changing jobs or, different things like that, where it's like a bigger decision that you need to figure out. Find somebody that you can confide in. Find somebody that you can rely on and say to them, this is what I feel like God is telling me. Does this line up with what you see? And then the last one, it should line up with the Word of God. It should be confirmed by a mentor. And then you should have peace in your heart. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, that when we pray, when we don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, surpasses all human understanding, right? The understanding that we're not supposed to be leaning on, surpasses that type of understanding, will guard our hearts. Because you're still going through that situation. There's still that hardship in your life, but now you have peace. And that's what I want to pray for today. But before we do that, I want to make sure and give an opportunity. If you're in here and you don't have a relationship with God, everything we've talked about today is predicated on this idea that we are placing our trust on Him. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Maybe it's your first time back in church after a long time, or maybe you've never been in church before. Maybe you had a relationship with God, but you know, life just got busy and all of these things popped up and you had some hard times and you had some questions. You didn't get them answered the way you wanted. And so you just kind of drifted away. This is your opportunity today to come back to Him, to place your trust in Him again, because He cares for you. What the Bible tells us is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came that we might have life in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're in here today and you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to place your trust in Jesus, in just a minute, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to have you raise your hand. If you're watching us online, go ahead and click the link in the chat and check the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. We want to follow up with you. We don't want this just to be a one-time decision that you make, but we want this to be a lifelong commitment to following God. And we want to come alongside you and work with you and pray with you any way that we can. So if I could have every head bowed across this place, and we're going to take a moment right now believing God, that God wants to do something in somebody's heart and in somebody's life today. If you're in here today and you say, I want to place my trust in God, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to have you go ahead and raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. All across this place, if you're saying to yourself, I want to place my trust in God for my salvation, go ahead and raise your hand high. See a couple hands going up. You guys can go ahead and put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you're watching us online, make sure to click the link in the chat. Just want to give a few more seconds. Anybody else want to raise their hand? All right, let's go ahead and repeat this prayer together. Everybody say, repeat after me. Say, Father God, I know that I've sinned, that I've fallen short of your purposes and your plan for my life. I place my trust in you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm sorry for the bad that I've done. Please forgive me. I want to come home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give these guys a hand that raised their hands? Well, now I want to give all of us an opportunity to respond. If you're going through something, if you're not going through something right now, we talked about it last week, but this is the perfect opportunity for you to ask God to search me. And God's going to show you something, and then you're going to have to deal with that, and then you'll have something to go through like the rest of us. It's the perfect opportunity, though, right? Hey, things are going pretty good right now, so I want God, instead of waiting until a hard time happens, like we talked about last week, where now there's this big blow up, I want to deal with this thing now. I want to put gas in my tank now. I want to go through that maintenance now so that I don't have to deal with it when things are really rough. So this is an opportunity for you as well. But what I want to do is we're going to have the worship team lead us in a song, and I want to open up the altars today. We're going to have prayer team members come, and they're going to station themselves right over here. If you want specific prayer for something, you can come down and talk to one of our prayer team members. They would love to pray with you. But if you just want God to speak to you, you just want some guidance in your life, you just want to see what God is saying to you, we're going to open up the altars, and we're going to give you an opportunity to come and to trust God, believing that God wants to make your paths straight. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to learn from you today. And Lord, I pray now as we come to you in prayer, Father, I ask that you would reveal to us the things that are going on inside of us. You know me better than I know me. So God, I ask that you would search me so that I can place my trust in you, because I know that you want to make my path straight. Father, we just thank you for these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet. If you want prayer or you want to respond to the altar call, go ahead and come down at this time. Worship team, would you lead us in this song? Let's go ahead and come on down here and just worship the Lord together.